As the COVID-19 epidemic spreads in Monroe County, local doctors are learning more about how to treat the disease. I called up Dr. Paritosh Prasad at Strong Memorial Hospital to find out what doctors do to keep alive the patients who have the most serious cases of COVID-19.
Tell me your name and your job title.
I'm Paritosh Prasad. I am the director of the Highly Infectious Disease Unit here at Strong Memorial. I'm an intensive care doctor who also does infectious disease.
I know that our sample size is limited, but I wonder if you can describe what is it that kills a person from COVID-19?
Absolutely. And it's not just COVID-19. This applies to pretty much the way our bodies react to infection in general. It's generally not the infection that kills a person. And in the case of COVID-19, it's the inflammation, it's the body's reaction to the infection that does a lot of the damage. And so in COVID-19 patients, if they develop severe inflammation of their lungs, the lungs become leaky and they fill with fluid and the body is unable to get oxygen in. And so that's the primary reason that patients who have COVID-19, and again, the vast majority of patients who become infected with COVID-19 will not have severe enough disease that would require hospitalization. Of those who require hospitalization, it's only a small percentage who would go on to be severe enough to require the care that we'd provide in an intensive care unit. And it's when the lungs are become unable to get oxygen in, that's when you need the intensive care unit, and that's often what the primary issue is that patients fight with when they're that sick.
So my body is trying to beat the infection, and to do that, it becomes inflamed in the areas where the virus is most present. So that's my lungs.
Correct. What happens is that the way your lungs work is it's a net of blood vessels that surround little pockets of air. And when those net of blood vessels become really inflamed, they become leaky. And so fluid, not blood, but fluid from within the blood vessels fills those little air sacs that we use to breathe. And it's essentially that you're sort of drowning in your own lungs. But what's really important to know is while there's not a specific treatment for COVID, this condition, this fluid filling the lungs, this inflammation, that's a condition that we've been treating for over 2 decades. That's acute respiratory distress syndrome. It's something that as a profession, intensive care doctors in particular, we have extensive knowledge about how we treat patients for this. That component is not new to us. And so there is a lot that we can do to help support our patients when they're that sick with COVID-19.
Now, I know that it is a small proportion of people who end up there, and that's important context, but I am interested right now in that small proportion of people.
Absolutely.
So what is it that you do when someone's lungs get leaky and start to fill with fluid?
So the primary thing is with anybody who has severe COVID-19 is we try to get oxygen to their body so that their heart and their brain stays healthy. And the ultimate support that we provide is a ventilator. If your body, despite all the things we do, if your body still can't get oxygen in, we'll put a breathing tube in and connect you to our ventilator. Now, when the lungs are inflamed like this, just the act of putting air in and out of the lungs can actually damage them. So what we've learned is that we have specific approaches to how we set the ventilator to essentially rest the lungs, to optimize, to give the most amount of oxygen into the system to make sure that the body gets exactly what it needs, but at the same time allow the lung to rest so that that inflammation can calm and the lungs can heal. So the first part of this that really requires training is just the act of getting the tube into place. Remember, the person that we're doing this for right out of, the reason we're doing it is they can't breathe and they can't get oxygen in. So just the act of putting that tube in is something that requires a significant amount of training. We only have our most experienced people doing this to ensure that we can do that safely without the oxygen levels dropping to a point that harms the person's heart or their brain. But even past that specialized procedure, the intubation, managing a person in ARDS, a person whose lungs are this inflamed in this sense, with in this setting with COVID-19, when I push air into the lungs, if I push it too hard, I will damage those lungs. And it kind of creates a vicious cycle where you get, you know, inflammation caused the problem, but now the ventilator can make it worse. So what we've learned over two decades is how we use the ventilator and set it in a way in which we're providing the minimal amount of stress to the lung, but still providing the adequate, the right amount of oxygen to keep the body going. And that's the really complex part of how you manage patients who go through severe inflammation of their lungs with COVID-19, because what you set it at today may not be the right thing in an hour or two, may not be the right thing the next day or the day after. So there's a lot of things that we do to help modulate the machine, how to change the machine so that it's responding to what's going on in your body.
What have you learned in the last 2 weeks about how to ventilate people with COVID-19 specifically?
It's a very good question. What we've learned specifically about COVID-19 is that our biggest problem for these patients is the oxygen getting in. We don't actually have a hard time clearing out the carbon dioxide. And so that helps us, it's a slightly different approach, so it helps us focus in on that piece. We've learned that our patients with COVID-19, one of the techniques that we use, if you've never seen it done before, it's going to sound a little crazy. When a patient is in a hospital bed, they're on a breathing machine because they have ARDS, if their lungs aren't doing very well, if we're having a hard time getting oxygen in, it turns out that if you flip that person over and put them on their stomach, that we are able to improve oxygen getting into the lungs because the fluid shifts around in the lungs. Now, that is not an easy thing to do. It is a very complex maneuver in a person who's already very sick, attached to a lot of machines, let alone with all of your providers wearing the protective equipment that we use. But we found that that's very, very helpful for these patients.
I think that pretty well covers it for the patients who end up needing to be on a ventilator. What causes you, though, to make the choice to put somebody on a ventilator? And do we know anything about whether you get better outcomes if you do it earlier or if you wait longer or like when the timing matters?
So really good questions. We do try to get our patients support as quickly as we can, because one of the things we know is that when patients do require higher levels of oxygen, that they can often get sick pretty quickly. And so we've made it a point that when our patients require, you know, significant oxygen support, that we have them with us in the intensive care unit where we can intervene very quickly. Whether there's a benefit to putting people on the breathing machine sooner versus later, we really don't have enough information. And so what we're doing, we are keeping intensive care attendings in the hospital 24/7. There is the person who can do the intubation and who can take care of you on the ventilator is the person who is watching you as we're in the situation. So we can make that decision and make that move immediately if it's needed.
All right, Doctor, I'll let you go. Thanks a whole lot. I really appreciate your time.
All right.
Bye.